It's May the 3rd, 2015, and we feel so blessed to be called into the presence of Christ that we may receive his love, his blessing, and his ever-expanding revelations to us that we may take into the truth of our life. I thank all of you so much for joining in your hearts and caring for one another, that we have created one of the most amazing communities on earth, a community drawn together for the very purpose of receiving and offering blessings, one to another and from Christ, ultimately from God the Creator, and brought to us by the loving, gracious generosity of the Holy Spirit. How blessed we are just to know these things and just to behold these things in our life. And I am so, well, privileged to be here and to be a spokesperson for Yeshua. As you all are, actually, he called us to extend our light into the world and to be his light into the world. He was very explicit. He said, as long as I am here, I am the light in the world. And then he said, and you are all the light in the world. The implication was, when I go to a higher plane, it's up to you to shine your light one to another. A candle in the darkness meets with 5,000 other candles in the darkness, and there's no darkness. And that seems to be the way it works. So here we are. And in response to one of the comments before the call, yes, next week is Mother's Day. And that would be the 10th of May. Yes, and then shortly after that, we will be having Memorial Day here in the United States. So I know this by heart because I was fitting our current webinar in between Easter and Mother's Day, and there were only 4 weeks to do it, and today is the last lesson of our webinar. It's going to be a grand one, so if you are enrolled, be sure and be there. You definitely do not want to miss this live. You know, we archive all of our webinars, but there's still something very powerful about being connected in the classroom without walls. There is something about how the Spirit unites us, how we connect through the matrix of light and spirit one with another, and receiving on behalf of one another a greater truth. So I hope you will be there, if at all possible. Otherwise, everything is recorded. I want to make two other announcements that are relevant along these lines. One is that I'm about 2 weeks away from completing a study manual, a study guide for Love Without End. It's something that we have needed for years. And we did create, it was an online study course with some text lessons and recorded audio. But that was a little bit cumbersome to use, and you had to be at your computer, and even though you could download them, you still had to be with some kind of device that could play them for you. Now we will have an in-your-hands book that is a study manual for Love Without End, with plenty of pages for your own notes, and what I feel are the most important subjects for you to emphasize in your study and develop a greater understanding for and application for in your life. So that will be ready in about 2 weeks. It's going to make a great follow-up to this webinar that of To Drink from Living Waters, which is about the higher messages in the three books that I've written. Now, following after that, as soon as the study manual is complete, I'm jumping in with both feet and heart and soul into creating the next new major book. Its title is Blessings, The Spirit of Love. And it's all about the blessings of Christ that were here for us, directly given 2,000 years ago, that have followed us in our evolutionary growth over 2,000 years and are here now with us, that we can receive in all kinds of wondrous ways, from the sacraments that we receive in church to the blessings we receive here on Sunday afternoon, directly from Christ to all of the, to, well, not all, but many of the revelations that are given to blessing givers, so that they may form a circle of love around the world, offering even more expanded blessings to our earth at this important juncture of growth and change into a new era of human community. I think this will be one of the most important books that I have ever been privileged to write, because it will be a book that is about Christ's love for you and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that love beyond time and space into your life to deliver the healing and the truth that you are seeking. And, of course, that's what we do here on Sunday. But I think it will be such a gift to the world to be able to make this available to so many people who don't know that we're here on Sunday, who are receiving Christ's blessings but need to focus on them just a little bit more, with a little more understanding and appreciation in order to magnify them. So these are my projects for the summer, and I so look forward to being in this level of service to you and Yeshua and all of my fellow man. I think it'll just be an exhilarating experience and something that I came to this earth to do. Is there anyone who would like to sign on for a couple of minutes and be part of the conversation or ask a question or ask for a blessing? I'm really open to calls right now. You know, I've always got plenty to say because I have the best script writer in the world, and he's always over my shoulder ready to voice over for me. But we love to hear from you. And I see Mara on the call. Hi, Mara, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. I would like to know if in the one of the new study books, probably the one on blessings, you will expand a little bit on what we have been studying in the in this latest seminar, and that is on the statement in the John. Well, there are some of the others too, but that you must go through me. You can't go around me. You can't, you know, you will go through me for the way, the light, and the truth. And I've been receiving questions from people. Well, it's in the Bible that was stated that you have a certain way, and I would like a little bit more, maybe in either one of these, on how to respond to people who have been so rigidly taught that you've got to be a Christian, and some of the Christians, and it's not only you got to be a Christian, but you got to be a Christian in this particular faith. And I find that with many people, that's alive and well. And
oh, yes, very alive and well. And, Mara, I think you have to realize that the answer is not to fight with them. Because
I don't.
Disagreement only increases polarity. And one of the reasons they have such a narrow perspective is because they've been prepared to disagree. It's just like training any soldier. You give him a single target and a single focus and a single direction, and you say to him, defeat anything that opposes this. And we have to remember that Yeshua did not come to this world to create a religion. He came to free us, and he said the truth will set you free. And in my book, if it doesn't set you free, it's not the truth. He defined what truth is. It's that which will set you free when you know it. And if something puts you back in the box, if something puts you back in a straitjacket, it may have elements of the truth to it, but it's not the whole truth. Because when you really know the truth, you are free. You are set free, and you can take that one. You know, the thing is, everything he said, I believe, can be taken literally, but there are different perspectives upon what literal means. When he came, he didn't come to create a religion. He came to bring the truth. Now, 400 years later, everyone was more interested in creating a religion than preserving the truth. And so they had to create a very tight, narrow focus upon his words. And that's when they moved into their capacity to disagree with anyone who saw his words a little bit differently. In Aramaic, you have to look at the fact that I am represents the ultimate personification of anything. It precedes anything that is to be taken in its noun form. It could have meant literally, I, Yeshua, Lord and Son of God, am. It could mean that. Or when he said, I am, it could have meant, take the way, the truth, and the light as a noun. It could have been interpreted either way, and both ways would have been literal. Now, if you interpret truth as a noun, the way as a noun, life as a noun, you're going to look at those a whole lot differently than you would if you look at them as adverbs, adjectives, or verbs. In other words, as a noun, truth is a living thing. It has actually truth. But the scripture I can give you that will most affirm that is something you're going to receive in your class today. And if you'll give me just a second, I'll give you verse, chapter and verse. And he said in John 14:17, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice he said whom. That's a noun. Because it sees him not. Again, a noun, a person. Neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you, and he shall be in you. Yeshua is talking about the spirit of truth. And that spirit is literally personified as a noun. In John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So you see, when Yeshua said, I am the truth, he's not speaking about, only through me, the person, shall you find the truth. He's saying the truth shall come to you as a person. Life shall come to you as a person. And the way shall come to you as a person. And those persons are three. You know what the three are? One is God, the person, Christ, the person, and you, the person. You connecting with the Holy Spirit as a person. That is, I could give you, if you wanted to actually get into polarity, which I don't advocate because it won't make anybody happy, but if you wanted to, I can give you all the ammunition you need, because it is the favorite thing of people who have limited understanding to take one quote out of Scripture, and that's all they know, and they use it to mean everything. Does that make sense, Mara?
Oh, yes. It makes perfect sense. And I think I may have... I didn't bring the question with me that I had written out, and that was probably a little clearer, but I'm glad I didn't, because this is a tremendous response. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Kathleen, hi. You're on.
How are you?
Oh, doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Almost done with my finals, and I had sort of a pressing question and something that has been perplexing me for a number of years. I have a colleague who thinks that she is the boss.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks that she is the director, and that is my position.
Oh.
And it's a very awkward and unpleasant situation, and it has been going on for a very long time, and I'm not really sure what is the most loving way to handle this.
Well, do you have any written job descriptions?
No, that may be part of the problem. Yeah.
Well, get some.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a concept. Yes.
What
well,
a concept.
I have written descriptions because I teach theater, and in that it's the director is the one that's over everyone else. I mean, the director of shows is the CEO. And the lighting director is not that person. So, I mean, I have tons of drawings of that, you know, like.
Well, you just need to muster the courage to have a confrontive but not angry conversation with her.
Yeah. I think that's the best.
That's all.
Yeah, just a confrontive, say, do you realize?
You know, don't bring your anger to the table, but just be confrontive and say, you know, this is, we have to have a single voice.
There we go.
And only through a single voice can we really get this job done. And I am the lead voice. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to follow my instructions.
There you go. Probably that simple.
It's that simple. Okay, my dear, let me take another caller.
Okay.
Cecilia is on the call. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Glenda. I thought what you told Mara was terrific, and I got another idea out of it, which is when you said I am precedes a noun, and then I thought what he's saying, especially with when God says I am that I am, God precedes all identifications of God.
That's right.
All our definitions of
that's
God.
That's right. His being precedes all definition.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct. And that's exactly how it would be interpreted in the ancient language.
Boy, we sure got some things wrong. But the other thing I wanted to bring up is yesterday I happened to hear in the back of my mind that beautiful spiritual, Oh Happy Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of seeing Secretariat, that wonderful movie.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
I know. And you mentioned it one time, and I had loved that movie. And so I thought, well, I'm supposed to watch it tonight. And then I remembered that the Kentucky Derby was on yesterday.
Ah.
And I just missed that. But I did watch Secretariat again. And what a powerful movie it is. And, you know, for all of you listening who don't know about horses or even care about them, it doesn't matter. It's a wonderful movie about people and about courage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. It was really inspiring to me.
Oh, it is. It's about how we muster up that great indwelling love. It's a story about a horse being the love that he is.
And the way he joins with her, who she believed in him right from the beginning.
Absolutely. It's great.
The greatest racehorse of all time.
Oh, absolutely. Not only in performance, but in character, in spirit, and just everything he represented. Thank you for mentioning that, Cecilia. I know some people will go out and rent that movie now. I really appreciate that. I see that we've got Renee on. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Actually, this is not Renee. This is Denise.
Oh, hi, Denise.
It's Renee's phone. I'm in the Mount Shasta area in Northern California, and the thing I'd like to ask about today is I have a thing that I've always kind of gone through my whole adult life. I just turned 60, where I've had this fear about losing my right breast to cancer, and from time to time I have pain and congestion there and in my lymph nodes there, and I learned something different about it recently. I have had a death in the family, and I was taking a homeopathic grief remedy.
Mm-hmm.
When I took that, all of a sudden it was like my breast was in agony. And I realized, oh, I've always thought, you know, in this way that it was maybe fear that lived in my breast. But it suddenly dawned on me it was grief. And I just wanted to ask for a prayer and your insights that I get to keep my breast.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We will focus a special blessing for you. And, you know, it's interesting that you discovered that because for a woman, a great deal of compassion is centered in the breast, because the breasts were created by God and nature to be offered as nourishment and love for our most precious new citizens of the human race. And when we lose someone we love, we feel grief, and it's often felt there. So I definitely, definitely think that you spotted and perhaps cleared. You know, the thing is, sometimes fear is only a remote symptom of something we need to trace back. For example, we could be afraid of the consequences that could happen from something we do or someone we love or something we love. Something we lose, when really we're looking all the way down the chain of effects, being afraid that that might happen. But by moving closer in to the chain of cause and effect, we can actually get a better release and a better remedy. And I think that's exactly what you observed and did. So you maybe want to take a look at some points of grief that you experienced in your childhood and in your early life, and cleanse those from your body, your heart, and your soul.
Thank you. That really sounds like a good place to go. I really like that.
We will hold you in our hearts in the blessing, dear. Thank you so much for being part of us. And I see that Scott's on the line. Hi, Scott. We've only got a minute.
Did you say there'll be a study guide for Love Without Ends?
Yes. And it's going to
be
about 2 weeks.
Will it have like a paragraph? Will there be a question for every paragraph, or what will the format be?
Well, I haven't finished the format yet, but it will be organized to cover the key highlights of every chapter, followed by study recommendations and questions for you to ask yourself, and then a special meditation for that chapter and a special prayer for that chapter. That much I can tell you.
All right. It cheers me up. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. And I think it will really, really make a difference in deeper study of that book. So you have something to look forward to.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And we have someone from area code 787. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Oli.
Oh, hi, Oli.
How are you? It's just quickly because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I also read about that phrase, I am the truth, the way, and the life, that it also referred to our I am presence, as our I am presence being the truth, the way, and the life. And I just wanted to check that with you.
Yes, as actually he personified. That's really what he was saying is, I am here to personify the way, the truth, and the life. He held these in his person. And as he offered to us to drink from the living waters, he reminded us that we are also the light of the world. And to pass the cup of life onto others, he instituted sacramental blessings for us to give to others, as we are doing here on Sundays. And so I think that what that really means, just as God said to Moses, I am that I am, meant I personify the original source of all that is. I am the source of all that is. And Yeshua, I am the way, the truth, and the light, means I personify the way, the truth, and the life. And in the sense that no man shall come to the Father except in this way, is what is actually a truer, more literal personification, meaning we all need to become the way, the truth, and the life. We need to see the truth as personified in ourselves, the way personified as our connection with God, life as the life we receive from being connected with God, not just the life we received from being born decades ago, but the life we receive every day through our connections with God. And thus we personify it. And those who wanted to build a religion turned it into a special interest club where you have to say the secret password and you have to say, I only by the permission and consent of Jesus Christ, can I enter this church and can I receive the blessings of this church? They turned it into an exclusive organization. I'll tell you one person who came to this earth with no exclusions in mind, and that was Yeshua the Christ. He did not institute exclusions. On the cross, he took the man dying beside him to heaven. He was not the one who instituted exclusions or exclusionary thinking. People instituted exclusionary thinking because they were in judgment, because they were prejudiced, because they were afraid of those who didn't agree with them. They were afraid of their fellow man, not loving their fellow man. They were not obeying the two commandments of Christ. If you obey the two commandments of Christ, you literally cannot exclude anyone from his love. It's not your job. Now, it may be, and I'm not saying that I necessarily believe this, but I certainly hold it as a possibility, because who is to say what God will do? There may be a time when God decides to exclude someone. But it's certainly not my privilege to exclude anyone from the love of Christ. That is not a power that's been given to me. And anyone who claims that power is standing in a puddle of ignorance and arrogance.
Wow.
We do not have that privilege. God has that privilege and may invoke that privilege. I don't know. Even Yeshua would not speak for God, the Father, at all times. At times he did. At times he would say, when the apostles asked him, well, when will God be among us? And Yeshua would say, only God has that answer. I don't. So there were times when Yeshua would not speak for God the Father. There are times when he would. But if anyone could speak for God, certainly it would be him. And he never said, bring only these to God and don't bring those to God. He never established parameters for exclusion. Only human beings have done that. And you need to know that when someone speaks in language of that nature, that they are speaking from fear, from judgment, and their own prejudice. And they are not obeying his commandments. And if you wanted to be confrontive and rude about it, the thing to say would be, I would recommend that you first go and obey his two commandments and then come back and tell me what Jesus expects of me. It's very similar to what he said to the people who were throwing a stone at the adulteress. He said, anyone who is without sin, cast the first stone. Well, anyone who is attempting to place judgment on another should first go and practice the two commandments Jesus left them with, and then come back and attempt to then forecast judgment. I think that's a very simple and straight answer that is confrontive, but not mean. It's not polarizing. It simply is what it is. And if we reminded people of his commandments more than anything else, we would have a different state of Christianity. We would have a different state of respect for Christianity by those who are not Christians. They would have far more respect for us. They would have more admiration for our place in the world and what we're hoping to accomplish in the world. And so I leave you with that. Let's obey his commandments. And just in case you don't know what they are love one another. Love your fellow man as you love yourself, and love God with all your heart. That's what he asks of us. Go and do that, and then come back to the scriptures and read them again and see how they read to you. You may read them very differently than you would have read them when you were indoctrinated and steeped in the dogma of a particular denomination that wouldn't let you look out the windows. So let's move on with our blessing. We're past time. And as you can see, a couple of you really touched on my zeal to be an advocate for Yeshua's grace and offering to all mankind, which is what he called me to do. And so if you ever want to put me on a soapbox, that's all. Those are the only buttons you really have to push to get me there. But right now, I'd like to go to a softer, gentler, sweeter, kinder place where we turn it all over to him. We turn it all over to the Holy Spirit and to the love of God who created us to be the love that we are. Just be relaxed in your chair, arms and legs uncrossed. Let your attention fall into your heart. Just be there in prayer. Let it be silent for the moment. And then you can say with words or in whatever way you pray as we move into the energetic conveyance of the blessing. This blessing comes without any limitation, without any words, without any dogma, without any prescriptions as to how you are to receive it or what it is supposed to do for you and in you. For only God and the Holy Spirit know that. They will seek out within you that which you need, that which they can most do for you to heal your pains, to relieve your anxieties, your fears, your griefs, to strengthen your hopes, your faith, your joys, and bring you into a happier state of life. Just be there for now. I will give my offering and praise to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit so that you may receive it with greater strength, greater abundance, greater focus into your life. After that, I'll let you know when we're complete. Go and rest for at least 7 minutes and receive all that is given to you with all the love that has been given and all the blessings that can be provided. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you have walked among us, judging no one, excluding no one, receiving everyone with your magnanimous love, your generosity, your charity, that you would sit among the thieves and other criminals, that you would sit among those who have no faith, that you would sit among the lepers and heal them, that you would bring the dead back to living, that you have no limitations, that you simply are love personified, that you are the way personified, that you are life personified, and the truth personified. Allow us to see that we too have the potential to personify the way, the truth, and the life in all that we are, in all that we can be, and all that we can offer to our fellow man and the earth, and leave as a legacy for our time on earth, that it may be well spent in the love of God and the love of others. We now ask that you and the Holy Spirit and the grace of God be upon us, that we may receive the love and the blessing that is intended for us at this moment, that it may heal us, lift us up to a higher plane, strengthen our wholeness and all that we can be, that we may be your servants and missionaries and messengers of love upon this earth. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, go rest, receive, and assimilate it into all levels of your body, heart, soul, and being. Bye-bye for now. God bless you now and forever. And I hope to be with you again next week.